on Kufnun Hamad Aleph, the bottom. Toshma. Echatchin. Eshagluim lefnei abehema v'yeshanevei lefnei aklovim. Okay, again, we have Machlokish, Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna, whether it's better to put tircha into making food more edible, but not making the food edible to begin with, or the opposite. So now the Gemara brings a raya. You're allowed to cut up pumpkins, gourds, in front of the behemoths, or nevelas in front of dogs. My love, gluim doim nevela. Is it not talking about pumpkins that are like nevela? Ma nevela derechicha, av gluim derechicha. Just like nevela is a soft thing, so too gluim are soft, meaning they're edible the way they are without cutting them up. But you're cutting them up to make them more edible. So that seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rav Huna, that you're allowed to be toreach, much the opposite, like Rav Huna, not Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to be toreach with food, but you're not allowed to make food. Alma tarchinim ba'uchla, v'tziyuftid Rabbi Yehuda, it's a question on Rabbi Yehuda. Amar lachar Rabbi Yehuda, lo, nevela dumi didluim, just the opposite. That the nevela is like the dluim, just like the dluim are hard, the nevela is also talking. Ma dluim da'ashuni, af nevela da'ashuni. Talking where they're both hard, and without cutting them up, they wouldn't be edible. Samar says, "Hechi mashkachasla." And how could you find? Where do you find nevela that's hard, that without cutting it up, the animal can't eat it? Samar says, "Bebosser tili," elephant meat. Elephant meat is hard, and an animal can't eat it unless it's cut up into pieces. Inami biguraisa zutri, or little puppies. Even regular nevela is too hard for them to eat unless it's cut up. Toshma, the Tani Rabbi Chanan Menardo, Mefarchinon Tevin Vaspasto Ma'arvin. Right, you're allowed to chop up straw, and aspasto is also some kind of fodder for an animal, and you're allowed to mix them together. Alma Tarchinon Bo'uchla. You see that even though they're independently edible, you're allowed to do extra tircha to make it more edible. Mara says, no, tivna b'tivna saria, aspasto b'ili zutri. It's talking where the tevin is not edible without cutting it up. It's rotten. They're not so rotten that the animal won't eat it at all. Otherwise it would be basically set aside for burning, and then it'd be mukta. But it's edible, but not that edible. It needs to be cut up. And aspasto is talking about the young animals, young donkeys that won't eat it unless it's cut up. So we have no rayas one way or the other, like with Yehuda or Avuna. Okay, let's go on. Ein ovsin es hagomo velo dorsin of a maliti. These are all the shonos of force feeding an animal in different ways. So wait till we get to the Gemara. The Gemara explains them all. The ein ma'amirin so agolim. When it comes to agolim, the same thing. Force feeding a calf is called ma'amir of a maliti. But you can be malited. Different kind of force feeding. Mahalkatin latarnigolim. And you can also force feed a tarnigol in the way that's called mahalkati. The nosnim maim lemursan avalo govlin. You're allowed to put water into mursan is chaff. Or it's not really chaff. It's bran. You're allowed to put water into bran, but you're not allowed to mix it together. The ain nosnim maim lefnei dvorim. You can't give water to bees lefnei yonim shebeshovach, and not you can't feed water to doves in a pigeon coop, but you are allowed to give water to geese and to chickens, and pigeons that are hardosios. See the Gemara explain what they are, but they're domesticated pigeons, not wild, not pigeons that fly around, but pigeons that stay in a coop and need you for their food. Rashi. Ein ovsim achilin oso harbe al korcho. This is force feeding an animal. The tochvin lo begrono. You put the food into its throat. You feed it so much food that you make like a feeding trough in its stomach. Hello, Dorsin. Shadore Slobosov grown up. Esasaorim. Right? Here again also, you force the food into its throat. It's barley. Umiolohavi kol kachmo ovsin. But it's not exactly like ovsin, it's less than ovsin. Avomalitin, mefarish gemara. Ein ma'amirim, mefarish gemara. Mahalkitin, mefarish gemara. Rashi said, patience, each of these things the gemara will explain. Ein nos de mayim lefnei dvorim, mefarish time of the gemara. Imishum de emizon nos neim olaf, shiyotzin va'okhlin besoda. Imishum de mayim va'ag mashchiach lehu. The gemara explained two reasons why you don't feed or don't give water to bees. One is because they don't depend on you for their food. They get their own food. So you're not allowed to be toreach, what's it called, with food that's not necessary for you to feed the animal. Or because there's plenty of water in the agam, and therefore what's it called, it's not necessary for you to feed them. Well, we'll see the Gemara says what the difference is. Hardosios al shei mekoman. They come from this place, and rodis or whatever, and they're fed in the house. They're domesticated pigeons. They don't get their food wild in the wild. Others have a girsa horodios. They took they were raised by hordes. Hordosios. They're raised by hordes. Hamelech, he was the first one who domesticated these kinds of pigeons. Okay, my ain ovsin. What does that mean? You can't force feed an animal in the way that's called oves. Rav Yehuda, ain osin lo evus betoch me'el. You can't feed it so much. It's mamish like putting a whole feeding trough in its stomach. Mar says mi ikat tai gavna. Does such a thing exist? You can feed an animal so much. That's it called force feed it so much. It's like mamish putting the feeding trough in its stomach. Rav Yehuda in. Yeah, it's what's it called? There is such a thing. One second. In to the Omer of Yirmiyah Midifti, Ledidi Chazi Leahutaya, I saw an Arab, the Achla Kura, the Atina Kura. He fed the animal a kur, which is a tremendous amount of food, and he put another kur, besides all his other things on the animal, another kur for it to eat along the way. So it's possible to force feed an animal a tremendous amount. And that's Asar on Shabbos. Ki ay gavna, Rashi, Shiachilena, Kol Kach, Shiarchivu Meyaki. It was possible to force feed an animal so much that you're going to make its stomach distend and extend what's it called as much as a feeding trough. Atana kura al gavel amazomos lederek levad shar masos. Besides the other things it was carrying, he made it carry a whole core of food for its food along the way. Okay. That you can't do on Shabbos. Ein ma'amirin. What's ma'amirin? Ezehu hamrov, ezehu halota. Ma'amirin you're not allowed to do, but ma'litin you are. They're both kinds of force feeding. One's mutter on Shabbos, one's aser. Hamra is aser, and halot is mutter. Amar of Yehuda. Hamra l'makom she'eni yechol la'hazir. Halot l'makom she'yechol la'hazir. Hamra is where you stuff the food into its throat so far down that it can't bring it back. Right? It has to swallow it. And halot is where you put it in a place where the animal could take it, could spit it out. Halitainino, they bring that, yeah. Halitainino is what's it called? Mokum Shiyokala Hamzer. You said like an animal. Force feed me. Right? Just not all the way down my throat, in a place where you put it in my mouth. I'm too tired to put it in. Henechanami. Rav Chizda Omar, Idi Idi Lamokum Shiyokala Hamzer. Rav Idi argues, just no, both of them are talking to force feed it into the throat where you can't spit it out. The animal has to swallow it. The hamra, the kli, halata biyad. The difference between them is, hamra is with a shovel, and halata you do it with your hands. The one with your hands you're allowed to do on Shabbos, the one with the shovel you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. But both of them are to a place in the throat where you can't spit it out. Masiv Rav Yosef, mahalkitin l'tarnigolin, ve'ein tzorich lomar shemalkitin, ve'ein malkitin l'yone shodach, l'yone aliyah, ve'ein tzorich lomar she'ein mahalkitin. My mahalkitin and my malkitin. So the Brisa says, you're allowed to force feed chickens by mahalkitin, And surely you're allowed to do malkitin. But you're not allowed to do malkitin to a pigeon, and surely you're not allowed to do mahalkitin. Mahalkitin is worse than malkitin. So if you're allowed to do mahalkitin, you're surely allowed to do malkitin. If you're not allowed to do malkitin, you're surely not allowed to do mahalkitin. Now the shail is, what does it mean? Why, my mahalkitin or my malkitin? If you want to say that mahalkitin is where you do it with your hands, malkitin is shodi le kamayu, and malkitin is where you don't put it in its mouth. You just put the food in front of it and let it eat it by itself, right? Then it would come out that you couldn't even throw food in front of pigeons themselves. Elalav, and that can't be, because what isser is there of feeding pigeons? Right? Just to put the food in front of it. Can't mean that one is putting it in its mouth and one is putting it in front of it. Elalav, mahalkitin lamakum sheini yecholahavzer, malkitin lamakum sheicholahavzer. Must be the difference is that mahalkitin is putting it all the way down the bird's throat where it can't spit it out. And malkitin, which is less, is putting it into its mouth where it could spit it out. Nichlal, dahamro, And therefore, since this is the difference between mahalkitin and malkitin, right, then the difference between hamro can't be where it is in the mouth. Has to be some different difference. Therefore, hamra must be that you do it with a kli. Both of these are by hand, right? And the other one is bikli. The tiyufta of Rabbi Yehuda, and it's a kashan Rabbi Yehuda, who says the difference between hamra what's the other lashon? Halata is whether it's the place where it can spit it out or not. Now we're saying no. Halata is the same thing as mahalkitin by a calf. Is the same exact process as halkata by a chicken. So if we're saying that halkata, there's two kinds of halkata, and the difference is where, how far in the throat it is, then that's exactly the same thing as halata. And hamra must be something different, right? Hamra must be that you're using a kli and not doing it by hand. And that's like, what's it called? Like ravidi. And not like, what's it called, Rav Chisda, it's like Rav Chisda, and not like Rav Yehuda. Samora says, no. The truth of Rav Yehuda, Amar Lech Rav Yehuda, La'ola mahalkitin desofi le'biyodai, malkitin deshodi le'kamai. No, what you said in the beginning is the way it is. Mahalkitin is where you stuff it in its mouth, and malkitin is where you just throw it in front of it. With the kokashilach, v'yoni shovach, v'yoni aliyah, l'misdi kamayu nomilo. The mashma that if that's the case, then ain malkitin, you can't even throw food in front of pigeons. Why shouldn't you be allowed to? Well, it says, Namilo, honey mezonos alecha, honey lo mezonos alecha. Something that you're not required to feed. Right? We'll see in 1 second what that means, mezonos alecha. But you're something you're not required to feed, you can't feed on Shabbos. Animals that don't depend on you for their food, that is not what's it called, you can't feed them on Shabbos. And, the honey amos on some pigeons, you're not required to feed them. Either because they're not yours, really. They're wild, right? Or because they have their own food supply. They don't depend on people to feed them. There's food available for it. Kidatanya. Nos nimizonos nesne kelev. They nos nimizonos nesne chazir. You're allowed to feed a dog, but you can't feed a pig. Uma hefrish bein zelizel. What's the difference between feeding a dog or a pig? Zemizonos of Alecha. This one depends on you for food, the dog, so you're allowed to feed it. Zemizonos of Alecha. Pigs have plenty of food to eat all over, and you're not allowed to raise pigs. So therefore, you let the pig eat in the wild. Omer of Ashri Masnisa Nomideka. You can learn this from the Mishnah. Einosnin Mayim Lefnei Devorim Lefnei Yonim Shebeshovach. Avonosnin Lefnei Avozim Lefnei Tarnigolim Lefnei Yonim Hardosios. Right? You're not allowed to feed bees or wild pigeons, but you're allowed to feed geese and chickens and domesticated pigeons. My timer. Why are these okay and these not? La mishum the honey mizonos in alecha, the honey mizonos in alecha. The obvious reason is these depend on you for food, and these get the food in the wild. Ulatameh, my iri maya, afilu chiti vesari namilo. Right? Lachara, then why is just water you can't give them? Lachara, you shouldn't be able to give them bird seed either. Right? Wheat and barley either. Now, lashani maya, the shriche ba'agma. Mayim is because there's plenty of water in the swamp. So there's plenty of water available for these things in the wild, therefore you can't feed them at home. But other things, they're not so much wheat and barley in the wild, so therefore you're allowed to feed it at home, even though it may not depend on you for its food, but it doesn't have a ready food supply outside, and therefore you're allowed to feed it. So we have two different reasons why. One is whether it depends on you or not, and the other one is there plenty of food or not outside? See one second with this. What? It's we'll see. It's a few different shot. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Rashi.
Isn't there a problem with
what? It's talking where it's a tzorich for a person. Tzar Balei Chaim is only where there's no need for a person. But here you're fattening the animal. That's a Tzar Balei Chaim. Why isn't it Tzar Balei Chaim to ride on the animal? To use the animal to plow with? Gives the animal Tzar, but it's a Tzorich of a person. Tzorich for a person. No, but it won't be as fat as if you force feed it. And you'll get more money. Anything that's Tzorich of a person is a Tzar Balei Chaim. Okay. There's only Shaila with force feeding an animal is maybe they're making a treif. Because you're... By birds, it could be you're going to bruise the veshet, the esophagus, by force feeding it. And today we don't know how to make the bedika on the veshet, then it's a problem. But Tzar Balei Chaim, again, anything that's a tzorich for a person, it's a reasonable tzorich. He wants to make money and he wants to get a fatter animal. Then anything that's a tzorich for people is more in the Tzar Balei Chaim. Only according to animal rights rules. According to the Torah, it's okay. You put it, what's it called, past the place where you swallow, into the throat, b'chli b'tarva, with a spoon, or a shovel, the sofi b'yadayim, toch bo l'toch piv, the other one you do it by hand, eliyone shovach, b'tmiyach, amelo mai, tircha ika, why aren't you allowed to feed pigeons? Now the Gemara can't think of a reason why you shouldn't be able to throw things in front of a pigeon and feed it. Elalav, the mahalkitin, the masnisin, the makom sheni cholas. The difference between mahalkitin and malkitin, you're both putting him in the mouth. The question is, where are you putting it? Deep into the throat or not so deep? Shema mino, malitin, dagolim, mugmalim, the makom sheni cholas. Because malitin is the same thing as mahalkitin. Yeshari, ela digabi behema korele halata, vigabi opos korele hilkut. The alkorchach ein man mirin dikitokos or bekliu. So that is mutter. Halata. And halata is just like halkata. And that's putting it in a place where it can't spit it up. So then what's hamra, which is asr, must be with a kli. There's no other place to put it. You're not putting it directly into the stomach, the maisa. So there's no other chilet. Elamai, this one's with a kli and this one's by hand. Hand, you're allowed to do it with a kli, not. Where it says, no, la'ola mahalkatin is softly biyadayim. Mahalkatin is where you put it in by hand, right? Even to the place where, what's it called, where it can bring it back. Ulamakum shi'chol la'hazir. But the other one is putting it in front of it. You're not allowed to do that. Even to pigeons, you're not allowed to even put it in front of it. Why? Eimazon also malecha. The shchichi lo bedivra. Doesn't depend on you for its food. There's plenty of food in the field. Chazir eimazon also malecha. The Ora Yehudi Shigadl Chazerim. You're not allowed to raise Chazerim. So therefore, it's not you, the Chazer is not yours to have to feed. The Torah, obviously, the Torah didn't make you responsible to feed Chazerim if it's also to grow them. Masnisa Nami Deka Dafilu Shadi Kamaya Nami Love. And the Mishnah, you can also learn that even just to throw food in front of these things is also because they don't depend on you for food. The Shriche Viagma of a Mazonos Lo Shriche Lahu. So things that don't depend on you for food, but there's not a lot of food out there in the field, those you're allowed to feed also, according to this reason. Okay, let's go on. Um, Dorash Rav Yona apischa devei nasiya. Rav Yona said this drasha outside the house of the nasi. My deceive. Yodea tzaddik din dalin. Yodea kodesh baruch hu. The Rosh was called a tzaddik, and he knows the way of the poor. Yodea kodesh baruch hu bekelev shemezonosa muatim. The Rebbeinu knew that a dog is not going to have a lot of food. People don't feed dogs, and there's not a lot of food out there that the dog can get in the wild. So therefore, l'fichach shoach hilasu me'ev gimel yomim. The food stays in a dog's stomach without becoming putrid for 3 days. So Rebbeinu Shem made the dog like that because he knew that the dog was going to, have a small food supply, the opposite of evolution. Not that since dogs have small, they developed the ability to keep their food in their body for three days. The Rebbeinu Shem knew l'chatchila, so he made the dog that it should stay 3 days because he knew that this is the way he designed the dog to begin with. So it's the same result. The question is, what caused it? Did it cause it adaption or the fact that the Rebbeinu Shem created it like that? It's like moles are blind because they live underground, so they lost their eyesight. Or no, the Rebbeinu Shem created moles to be underground, so he didn't give them eyes. He didn't give them sight. Same thing, but the shaila is what the description is. Why did it happen like that? Kiddushan, kama tisha chilasu me'av v'yetame, v'kelev gimel yomim me'es le'es, uva opos v'dagim, kideshe tipo l'or v'tisarif. What's it called? The halacha is like this. A dog swallows. Let's see what Rashi says anyway, so I have to say it twice. People don't like dogs. They don't give them a lot of food. So the Rebbeinu Shem did a chesed, and he made the dog hold its food inside for 3 days. And it nourishes from that food for 3 days. A dog ate, flesh from a dead person. And the dog died inside the house within 3 days of the time that he ate the basar mace. So metame bohe. Then the basar mace that's inside that dog is still considered basar mace, and it's metame bohe. Avo b'chayiv lo metame. But if the dog will be alive, then the basar mace is not metame, because it's tuma balua, the tuma balua, the balei chayim lo metame. Tuma that is covered up inside a living thing isn't metame. Okay, neither are things swallowed up inside people tame from something that's metame. Right? A kohen, when he's an embryo, doesn't become tame when you go into the mother walks into a building where there's tumah. Okay, the Omer Behema Maksha. The Gemara says, what's the quote in Behema Maksha? I think that may not be the case. Tuma Balua is not metame, but Tahara Balua becomes tame. Therefore, there's a shayla about a woman going into a house with a kohen, a mother going into a house where there's a tumah with the baby inside. So, but the thing of tame is swallowed up by something living. There it's not metame. So therefore, but after 3 days, if you know that the dog ate this basar tame, right, this dead person, 3 days ago, so it's already 24 hour periods, then it's already digested, and it's not metame anymore. It's not basar tame. It's not basar anymore. But till 3 days, it doesn't get digested. Shmamino, wait a second. So we didn't get to the shmamino yet. But ophos and dagim, if they eat something, right, the amount of time that they're digestive is from the time that you could throw something in the fire, right, that they would fall into the fire and get burnt up. It's a very short amount of time that by opos and dagim, what's inside of them becomes digested. This is a halacha lemaisa. They catch tuna or other fish, and it has non-kosher fish that they swallowed. So it's a very short amount of time that what's inside of them is no longer treif, because it's digested. But if it doesn't have that amount of time, then it's a problem, right? And then if you start cooking them, right, on the boat with the treif of fish in them, then they're all treif, because they're cooked together with treif of fish. If you wait until the time that the fish inside will be digested, then what's it cause? No problem. Omrav Hamanuna, Shma Mino, Orech Ara Lemishta Umtzala Kalba. It's customary to throw raw meat to a caliph, right? Because you should realize it. Rabbanu Shalom realized that people don't give a lot of meat, a lot of food to a caliph. Have rachmanis on it, right? Nobody else can give it, so you should give it. The kama. What? No, that's why you should give them the treifas that you have. This is stam to feed them. It's a different thing if they didn't bark. The kama, right? The kama. Amar Rav Mori moshach udne. The chutra basri. Give him a little bit of meat, and as big as his ear, and then hit him, and so he won't get used to coming back, and then you'll have to keep feeding him. So you should feed it, have rachmanis on it, at the same time, have rachmanis on yourself, too. So give it a small amount of meat, and hit it so it won't come back. Samari says, honey, mile bedivra. That's in the field. Avamamasalo. But that's if you find the dog in the field. Then it's good to give it a little bit of meat and give it a patch, and it won't come back to you. But in the city, lo, da'asa l'misrach. In the city, it's going to keep coming back. It knows where you are. So even if you hit it, it'll come back. Then it's not a good idea to feed it. The dog will take care of himself. Omra papa, lest the anya mikalba, lest the asa mikhazira. There's nothing as poor as a dog, and nothing as rich as a chazir. Tanya Kavashid Rav Yehuda. Okay, so now we're going back to what we started before. So there's a brisa that says like Rav Yehuda, that the difference between hamra and halata is where you put it. If you put it so far into the throat that it can't regurgitate it, or not that far. Right, the brisa says, Ezeu hamra, Ezeu halata, hamra marbitza, who pokes his piho, machiva kashin, umayim vasachas, halata machiva muumid, Umashke mu'umid, the nosin karshina b'pniyasma ma'im p'niyasma. Right? Halata is what's it called? Where you put it all the way into the throat and it swallows it already and it can't put it out. Because you, what's it called? You do it while it's what's it called? Lying down. So you can really stuff it all the way in. And you feed it gruel. That's already mixed with water, so it's going to swallow it easily. Masha'en kein, halata is where you feed it while it's standing up. You don't lie it down. And you put the solid separate from the liquid. So it's still possible to spit it out. Okay. Tirashi. Moshach udne. Ma'at kamus, kamos ozno. Give him a little bit, like the size of his ear. The chutra basre yakeo b'mako, hit him with a stick. After that, miyad shloim argil eslo. Should know not to come back. Avo b'masolo, leisigle, midi. In the city, don't give him anything. He lavdi day, unless it's your dog. Then you're responsible to feed it. Somebody else's dog in the city, don't give it, because he'll find you even if you hit him. Mishum dosim, misro basre b'yapsidim. The guy will end up losing money because of this dog. He's giving you good advice. Lesta aser mechazira, shekol maichol roilo, umotse lecho ve'at machil lo harbe. There's nothing richer than a chazer because it eats everything, so its food supply is very, easy to find. And also, people feed chazer. Kavosin Rav Yehuda, shahamro lemokom sheino yochol ha'azer. There's a brice that says like Rav Yehuda, the difference between hamro and halata is where you put the food, not what you put it with, clear or not. Poki says pia, nosin chakil tok pia. You put a like a hook in its mouth. Shalotucha lisgar pia. They shouldn't be able to close its mouth, and you force feed it. Umachila kashin ramayim vasachas v'hamayim avliyin akashin l'tok beis abliya al korcha. Since it's liquid, it slides down its throat and it can't bring it back. Machila mu'umid, nosin tok pia. Put it in its mouth while it's standing. If you don't lie it down, you can't stuff it in that far. The yochel akzira, and it's only in a place where it could spit it out. Okay. Let's see what's here, because the next thing is a new inyan. Okay, the Ran holds that, one second, let's see what the reason is over here. I could have it over. Okay, in any case, there's a few reasons. Some hold the reason that's usur is because of tircha. Like feeding animals that are not, you're not required to feed, is an extra tircha. It's not necessary. They can get the food themselves. Right? And what is usur? So the Ran holds, even if you're not, what's it called, responsible to feed these animals. Right? Now, what's the idea over here? It's your animal, that's what you're responsible for? Or it's an animal that can get the food anyway, even if it's yours. The opposite. Two different, possibilities here. Does ownership of the animal make it that it's your responsibility, and then you can feed it? Right? And therefore, even if it's food that the animal could get outside, but you're responsible to feed it, you could feed it on Shabbos. Or no, the main idea is, ein mizonosam alecha means you don't have to feed it because it can get the food outside. So therefore, even if it's yours, but the food is... It can get fed outside. You're not allowed to feed it on Shabbos, even your thing. But even if it's not yours and the food is not available to it, then you are allowed to feed it. Okay? In other words, if the ikur is it's yours, then it makes no difference if it can get the food, it can't get the food, you can feed it on Shabbos. If it's not yours, then what's it called? You can't feed it no matter what. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is mizonosum lecha means it depends on people for food, not you specifically. So then you can feed it, whether it's yours or not, as long as the food is not available to it. But if the food is available, then even if it's yours, you can't feed it. Those are two possibilities. Okay? So, what? Fish, what's it called? If they don't need to be fed on Shabbos, fish usually you can feed before, and they don't need to be fed. Right? It can be the same thing. Yes, right. The Ran holds that... even if the animal doesn't depend on you for food, in other words, not yours, you're allowed to feed it as long as the food is not available to it. That even can feed somebody else's animal. And the Shulti HaGiborim argues, and he says it's not from the Rif and the Rambam, that you're not allowed to feed an animal that's not yours at all. Can't feed animals that are not yours. Okay. And the Shulti HaGiborim says the opposite way, too. Even if it is yours, but the food is... easily found for it without you feeding it, you're not allowed to feed it either. Okay. And therefore the Lavush holds it's usher to feed a dog that's not yours. Because even though the dog doesn't have readily available food, but it's not your dog. You're not responsible for it. You can't feed a strange dog on Shabbos. And the Mogen Avraham holds you can. You're allowed to feed because the dog doesn't have readily available food. But fish or whatever have readily available food. If it's not yours, you can't feed it. Therefore, there's what's it called, the Magen Avraham says, that you're not allowed to feed the birds on Shabbos Shira. Or the fish, a tashlich, can't throw bread into the, right, because you're feeding animals that, one, are not yours, so some hold that's bechlal, not allowed. And even if they are yours, the food supply is readily available for these things. They don't need you to feed them, right? Fish don't wait till tashlich to eat. And same thing with birds. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, no, since it's l'shem mitzvah, right, that what's the reason they feed the birds on Shabbos Shira? Because the birds sang Shira too. So to remember, the Shira, we feed the birds. So we're not doing it really for the birds' sake. We're doing it for our sake, because you remember the simcha of the Shira. Therefore, it's okay to feed them. It's l'shem mitzvah. Rav Moshe Poizner, they say, used to get all the children together on Shabbos Shira and feed the birds. What's it called? They held it was mutters, because also it's a shein mitzvah. And the mitzvah was, a zecher says that the children, when they went through the yam, picked up fruit, and they fed the birds with that fruit that they had from the yam. And what's it called? It was, wasn't Shabbos. It was, what's it called? It wasn't even Yontif then. So, zecher to that, we feed the birds. That's another reason. Another, what? What? Right, according to this Shem Mitzvah, right. Both the things are the same. The what? The what? No, because it's a zecher to throwing your averas away. Not feeding, not doing it to feed the fish. You're doing it as a zecher of sashlich and subas yom kol chatosam. The the minig is a zecher. Mele is the same mitzvah. That's the thing. There's also no mitzvah to feed the what's it called? It's a zecher. It's the minig. But it's a shame the minig. That's okay. Another reason that they feed the birds on Shabbos Shira is a zecher to the tzlochis haman. The breadcrumbs remind us of the man, which is Shabbos Shira, Parshat Mishalach. Others say because the more famous reason that Dasan Aviram put out man, and the birds ate it, so people shouldn't find man and think the Moshe Rabbeinu was lying. So another reason is that what's it called? It's feeding the birds is Ma'or Rachamim B'Shamay. And it's like you can feed a goy because of Eva. You shouldn't have bad feelings. Here also, you're feeding it to be Ma'or Rachamim Mishamayim. So it's not the reason to feed the bird. Not want to feed the birds. You want to be Ma'or that Rachamim on people. And Lamaisa, so that's why there are those that are matter. But the Mishnah Berurah says, Lamaisa, with all of these reasons, that's good to be Malamet Zchus and the people do it. But you shouldn't do it. You should feed the birds Erev. Put the things out Erev Shabbos, and you should not throw breadcrumbs into the water on Rosh Hashanah. You should, what's it called, just empty your pockets symbolically when there's nothing in them, like we do, what's it called, by Kiddush Levon, but not the other way. Okay. What? What?
Feed a dog once every 2 days.
Every 2 days?